Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Crick Blog podcast. Australia fan and India fan banter, argue at times, and with a little bit of analysis as well. We're back for a new season after a little bit of a break after the Border Gavaskar Trophy. A little bit has happened since then. Australia continue to win, a great start for us, which we'll and talk about because one big in Sri Lanka and the Women's Ashes, of course. And India did beat England, and that's great as well because England are getting smashed all over the world, and I'm all for it. But Nash, before we talk about sort of the Test match in Sri Lanka, the Women's Ashes, and the T20 series in India, how have you recovered after that Border Gavaskar Trophy defeat? Quite a hefty one in the end. You're right, just the welfare check.
I mean, good. You're a nice person, Shaban. Good of you to ask, but
I'm just being courteous here.
it's yeah. I wouldn't say I've recovered fully, but life goes on. We move forward. Plenty to look forward to in the coming year. Champions Trophy, the England series. Yeah, plenty to look forward to.
Yeah, there is. And the cricketing calendar moves very quickly, as we know. So, as I said, a lot has happened. Australia, began their tour of Sri Lanka in the most incredible fashion. An innings and 242 runs. I think the final margin was, from memory, that's Sri Lanka's biggest ever defeat in Test cricket. It was sort of driving back from a family holiday on the 20, which date was it? That is our 29th was the start of that Test match, and 90 odd in the first 13, 14 overs, elevating Travis Head to open. I thought it would have been nice just to start here quickly. Just I thought it would have been nice to give Sam Constance an opportunity to see what he's made of in those conditions. I just wonder though, is it because
Look,
he
I
maybe
think.
has struggled a bit in the nets? Maybe his form in the nets hasn't been particularly great, or they just want to go with Travis Head at the top with
Look,
the
I think
experience of Uzi.
let's dive straight into it. I have some thoughts as to why Constance wasn't played, and I've seen some strong thoughts from experts and fans online as well, but the Australia that we know, this Australia that we know, I think it has given and it will give the best possible opportunity for its players to succeed. And if that means a player misses out on a difficult tour, to Sam Constance 19, this Sri Lanka tour. Look, we don't know, but the high, there's a high possibility that if he played, it might have been a really difficult tour for him, and like he has never played on such pitches. We saw Labuschagne struggle as well. The ball was spinning, the leg spinner was bowling really well for Sri Lanka. Constance isn't someone of Smith's class at the moment, who can easily, tinker with his technique and change on the spot in a test match. So I think what the thought process behind it must have been is, let's take Constance on the tour. Let's give him that experience in that environment in the subcontinent, and give him the practice on those pitches, even if it's just a warm up, a practice match, or training with the team. Let's give him that experience. Meanwhile, we give ourselves the best chance to win because, we know Sri Lanka has left arm spinners and the leg spinners. So Travis Head and Usman Khawaja took the game to Sri Lanka and started in the best possible fashion for Australia. So yeah, and Australia succeeded. So not a lot
No
of
complaints.
questions.
Yeah, I mean, the makeup of the team I thought was spot on. So I was sort of predicting the what the 11 could be in the weeks leading up to Sri Lanka, and I thought we need to play three specialist spinners there. We just need the one specialist fast bowler. Don't need to go more than that. And I thought we got it spot on. I think Kuniman, in my eyes, was the second behind Lyon in terms of the spinners selected because of the left arm spin option, as you mentioned, and he took 9 wickets. And I'm happy for Usman Khawaja because we all saw the pressure he was under in the Border Gavaskar Trophy. He struggled, particularly against Bumrah. I thought he fared pretty well against everyone else. And I thought, let's see how he goes in Sri Lanka and then the World Test Championship final against bowlers who are not Bumrah and see how he goes there. And ultimately, he's still one of our best players of spin. I really commend him how he's improved against spin over the years because he was not good 10, 12 years ago. Did not
I think
If
that
Bahrain and conference,
2018 UAE tour was the
turn things
turning
around
point.
100%. That big innings there to save that test, and it's been uphill from Usman Khawaja since then. It really has. And he had a bit of luck, but he played really, really well, swept well. His shot selection was really good. And he got a massive score. And yeah, and I think, look, I don't mind the selectors wanting to really go all out and try to win this series. And I know a lot of people have said, well, the World Test Championship final is sealed. It's a bit of a dead rubber series, but I don't look at it that way personally. We have not won in Sri Lanka since 2011. We lost 3-0 in 2016. We drew one all a couple of years ago. Series wins in Asia don't come easy. So if you can get one, you really cherish it. And I think probably one criticism or one downer on this team and this group has been you haven't probably won enough Test cricket in Asia. So if you get that opportunity to do it, why not try grab it with both hands? And I thought the makeup of the team was very, very good. Inglis did very well. And Smith, of course, what more can I say about him? Fantastic.
And you know, certainly there are positives because Josh Inglis was one of the big positives in your 100 on debut, and Bo Webster, I think he did not struggle as much, but you know, he failed to make a big score, at least
Yeah.
scored more than Labuschagne did, so
Labuschagne, he struggled the most. And you know what? Speaking of Marnus, is again, I spoke to him about after the Borda-Gavaskar Trophy, that the spotlight's going to be on Marnus. There's guys knocking on the door now for that position there, number three, the likes of McSweeney, etc. So Marnus has got to start stepping up. He really struggled on day one, when
So
everyone else seemed to do pretty well.
what happens from here on for Marnus? Let's say second test he fails again. And mind you know, this is me considering I'm, you know, Australia is my second team, after India as well. So you know, I do care about what happens with Australia as well. So but what I mean is, do you see Marnus going into the Ashes as the first choice number three?
Yeah, I think there's a bit of
If
cricket to
he
be
doesn't
played for
have, if
them.
let's say if he doesn't have a good World Test Championship final, and then the whatever tests there are after that.
Yeah, three tests in the West Indies after that. So
Yes.
I reckon he'll probably be given all of the games, unless it goes really bad in the first one or two games against the West Indies, right? But I think he'll be given the World Test Championship final, given there's a few months between the last Sri Lanka test and that World Test Championship final. He'll be given that, and then yeah, he's got to perform in the West Indies. And then see how it goes in the Ashes. I think he can find his form. I just think he needs to be more decisive with his footwork against both pace and spin. Sometimes he gets stuck in the crease, and he'll know that. And he'll be working on that very hard. But I think he's leaving a lot of runs out there, and he'll be very disappointed he missed out against, I think, a Sri Lanka attack that sort of was tweeting about it during the game. And I was surprised at the number of people on social media who called the ball track a road, who called it a flat pitch. Just because Australia was scoring big on it. And I thought to myself, the ball's spinning. Like the ball was spinning from the first session. That's not your classic road. It was turning and turning quite a distance. You know, the average turn was 4 degrees and 5 degrees. The issue was Sri Lanka were bowling one pace, very slow. They didn't mix it up, they didn't change things up. And then Steve Smith, the best test batsman of this generation, I must say, 10,000 runs. We'll touch on that shortly. He cashed in Khawaja and Inglis and etc. But the pitch, right? I thought there was weird analysis by quite a few. And then once Australia got it right with the ball immediately with Kuhneman, quicker, you know, 90 plus Ks an hour, where Sri Lanka were in the low 80s, Lyon, quicker. And I thought Murphy chipped in here and there, but I thought those two spinners were terrific. Aided by again by some poor Sri Lankan cricket. I know Australia being good, Australia were good. But I can't remember Sri Lanka playing so badly across the entire test match with the batting and the bowling and the fielding and the use of the
I think they were
DRS.
caught off
All
guard
terrible.
by how well and how aggressively those Australian
Maybe.
openers took on the bowling attack.
It's
They
to be
were certainly
expected,
not
though.
expecting
Once
that.
Once you saw Travis Head as opener, you surely would have expected that they're going to try go after you.
Yeah, but even Khawaja was taking it on it. That surprised me as well. Like I saw Khawaja dancing down the pitch and then hitting it over the bowler's head or mid off or mid on. Like and
His
it this
sweeping is
wasn't
excellent.
one in 100 balls or anything like that. He was trying that something new every over. He was playing the sweep and everything. He was really he wasn't aggressive like Travis Head, but he wasn't overly defensive
Yeah, of
as
course. He was
Usman
still
Khawaja is.
striking at 60 or 70 himself. So yeah, absolutely. And he's sweeping both sides of the wicket, outstanding. And yeah, just Sri Lanka didn't sort of mix things up enough. And sort of Steve Smith came in that first session, bit of a tricky period with Marnus struggling, and he was out. Australia were two down.
And
And then
that's
walks
the
out.
that's actually my question. That's my worry. That's my question to you is with Marnus's form, why Australia needs Marnus in form scoring runs? Because if at all the openers struggle to get early runs with Marnus in this form, Australia risk having Smith out there against the new ball for no runs at all.
Yeah, absolutely. And that
And
happened.
opening up the middle order.
It happened a little bit in the Border Gavaskar Trophy, but we
Yes.
got through it and fought hard. And Travis Head was outstanding there. But yeah, you're right. And when you have Travis Head back in non-Asian conditions, back in the middle order, you want to set up a platform for him. And that was key in the Border Gavaskar Trophy, where when he scored those 200s, he came in the 40th over thereabouts. The guys at the top did enough to take the shine off the ball. And we need Marnus in form. You're 100% right. Because Steve Smith is sort of starting to get back into his rhythm. He's got three centuries in his last four games now. We were concerned about him on this podcast, say 6 months ago. Can he rediscover that best form? I was hopeful that he could, and he really has. The use of the feet on Smith, he reaches 10,000 runs at 56. No one could have dreamt of that when he started as a leg spinner who batted at eight. But his use of the feet, Nash, and I was thinking back to the Border Gavaskar Trophy a few years ago in India when everyone wanted to sweep, and we were reviewing it, you and I, at Delhi, and I was thinking to myself, why would you go away from your strengths as a team, and everyone try to sweep the ball when Steve Smith's strength is the use of the feet, the use of the crease, playing in the V, picking off the spinners. I thought he did it to an absolute T in this innings. And made Sri Lanka pay for dropping him second ball and gets that fantastic 100. 35 test hundreds at an average of 56. We're looking at one of the greats, certainly the great of this generation. And we've got England fans on social media making it about them and bringing Joe Root into the conversation. But I've said this before, even when Steve Smith was in his rough patch, that we have got the best player of this generation over an extended period of time across all conditions, across all types of bowling. An amazing player, and I'm so happy that he's found that form
And look,
again.
that's why a few years ago when Labuschagne was coming on the scene, a lot of fans and experts compared the two. As said, Labuschagne will be that great batter that Smith is, but I think Smith is far beyond anyone's reach in this generation. And whatever you do, I think he does find a way out because yeah, I remember Smith had a longer lean patch than he usually does, and with Border Gavaskar Trophy, even though India bowled well, they bowled poorly in patches as well, but he did find a way. He did find a way to tackle Bumrah. He did find a way to score the runs in Sri Lanka as well now, and hopefully he does it in the Ashes as well.
Hopefully he does. He does like England, and we saw the Barmy Army talking about Australia stat padding and putting a picture of Steve Smith there, but he averages
I mean,
56 against England.
my fingers were itching so much to tweet, but I was going to say that it's ironic that Barmy Army talks about stat padding on social media because they are the ones using Steve Smith and Virat Kohli whenever they get an opportunity to get the engagement on social media, get the likes, get
Of
the
course,
tweets, and get the comments. I mean,
absolutely.
it's ironic.
And the pictures that England have been producing at home nice flat pitches for
Oh.
their baseball and for to pile on the runs. And look, England are funny. I hope
And
we
look, I
give it
think
to them in the Ashes.
that's why I think I feel it's interesting. We'll speak about this in a few months' time, but that's why I think it'll be interesting to see what pitches they prepare during the India tour, because you got Bumrah, you got Shami, Shami will be back, and Siraj likes the English conditions as well. So you got three really good fast bowlers. Now you got someone like Harshit Rana, and Nitish Kumar Reddy as well. It'll be really interesting to see what kind of pitches they prepare, because previously we know they have prepared green tracks, seaming tracks for Indian batters. If they do that, how will Bumrah affect
I
their
don't
fast ball
think they'll do
plans?
that. I don't think they'll do that for with Bumrah, in the mood that he's been in, and then the quality that,
Let's not
and of
forget, we
course
got Jaiswal as
Shami
well. We got
possessed
Jaiswal.
Jaiswal. You got batsmen, even though India have struggled with the bat, you do got players who can take advantage of a flat pitch, and they'll welcome a flat surface there too. And yeah, it'd be interesting to see the surfaces there. You're right, but yeah, you've also got Akash Deep and a few of
Yep.
these guys who, very handy seam bowlers. It'd be fascinating to see, but yeah, England making it about themselves, but they've been getting belted everywhere. So we'll touch on them. I mean, the Women's Ashes, 16-0. I can't remember a worse England side for a long time, really. And it's a lot of these players have been around for quite some time. And what was telling to me is when Alex Hartley, the former player and now the commentator, comes out and says a very true thing about their fitness, about their ability to stay in the game long enough. And quite a few of them, I see, I think, get offended and refuse
And
TV interviews and this sort of thing. That tells me you're not really willing to be accountable for your performances.
but that's the English people in general about sport, isn't it? Like, we have seen that with men's cricket. Now we are seeing that with women's cricket as well. We have seen that, you and I follow football as well. We have seen that in English football as well, different clubs. It's English sports personalities in general that they don't take the blame on themselves. They always, like, for example, Harry Brook with the smog example, and he was playing all over the place, against spin in India, and he
It's
was blaming
fascinating,
the
isn't it?
smog and everything. And so I'm not surprised that they blame everything else but themselves. It's not surprising to me at
That
all.
is in the England dictionary. We look at everyone and everything else except ourselves. And we saw that in the last Ashes, and we see that regularly, that England are willing to, blame everything else except themselves. And it's seen in it's shown in their results, men and women cricket. This
Absolutely.
women's Ashes was an absolute annihilation. I think there was one close game pretty much the whole series across formats. And that test match was a complete annihilation when you look at the fielding standards of that England team. And that's not to take credit away from our wonderful Australian team who played a
I
great
mean,
game, played a great Ashes, but that six or seven drop catches. And a lot of them, you should swallow it up with your eyes closed.
look, I'll disagree when you say there was one close game. I haven't seen any close games
It was
in that series. I
that
mean, they were
one
Australia
Duckworth Lewis
won
in
by
Canberra.
21 runs. But I don't know, I wouldn't call it a close game, and they won one by 6 runs. But
That's the one.
it was
The one.
still look. Australia was winning that all day. But yeah, if you want to
I think
call
they
that
were,
close.
but Heather Knight was looking good, and she was striking at over 200. And it was a game that went down to the last over. There was still a possibility.
Well, there you go. That's close then for England. For England, at least.
Absolutely. Travis Head's won the Allan Border Medal, by the way. So I've just been seeing that. Well deserved for Trav. He's been outstanding. That Border Gavaskar Trophy was something else, and what he does, in the middle for Australia in Test cricket has been absolutely outstanding. What he does in white ball cricket as well. But the women, so many wonderful performers. For me, one of the unsung heroes of the women's team over so many years, and a player that hasn't really got the sort of accolades that she deserves until the last maybe couple of years is Beth Mooney. And you talk about consistency, when you talk about reliability, every single one of those players in that women's team is great, but Beth Mooney is just on another level in terms of consistency. And I was thrilled for her. She got 100 here and performances in that T20 series as well.
Yeah, I mean, I averaged 100 and six, 100 and 506 in the T20 internationals as well, scored about 200 runs. So, yeah, I mean, she has been a real star for Australia over the years. And
She has.
I remember an India series a couple of years ago, where every time I watched the game, I was like, how do you even get her out? How do you, where do you bowl to her? You know, what kind of ball do you bowl to her to get her out? Like, she was just playing so flawlessly and you know, and with elegance. It's really difficult for the bowlers to feel anything else other than helpless.
And she's so proactive against all types of bowling. You can bowl top of the stumps, but she'll knock your way through the gaps and work you around and punish your bad ball. And I think that sort of experience and that sort of quality is rubbing off onto players like Annabel Sutherland. England missed a chance against her early and she makes them pay. She's a wonderful player, Annabel Sutherland. Had a bit of a quiet white ball part of the Ashes, but then once the test came, the first women's centurion at the MCG, and she's a special player, and she's what, 23, 24 years of age. The future is bright in Australian circles, and long may it continue, right? She's a fantastic player to watch. Very
And
technical.
one of the things I wanted to point out about the reasons that we the excuses that we heard were, let's not forget the I think it's the quote of the I would say quote of the decade by John Lewis, saying Australia has a more suitable weather for fitness and for exercise, and that's why their athletes are much better than England's. I'm like, seriously, I don't know. I don't even know
Doesn't
how to
hold, doesn't it?
explain, but yeah, I mean, I've been living in this country in Australia for the last 10 years, and it's not. I've settled in Melbourne, and let me tell you, the weather can't be more shit.
Yeah,
I mean,
we get all four seasons in a
it's
day.
39 degrees today. 39 degrees today. There was a thunderstorm for 3 hours last night, and there's going to be a thunderstorm tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, we get four
So it's
seasons in a day here as well.
exactly.
It's what I find sometimes like a victim mentality. It's like, first look at the excuse before we look at ourselves. And I think it really, yeah, as I said before, rubs off onto their performance. For Australia, for example, if we lose two Ashes tests in a single series at home, we're fuming. We will be very critical of the team, whether we go on and win the series or not. Say it's a 2-2 or a 3-2.
Oh, I mean, we saw that after the first Perth test loss
The
in the
first loss
Borderhouse
at
Trophy.
Perth and the knives were out, right? Imagine we lose two Ashes games in a single series. England have done that three times in a row, have lost two test matches in a home Ashes series and failed to regain the Ashes twice on home soil. You're at home, and yet here we're talking about Australia cheating and Alex Carey and Bairstow. This is 2 years ago or whatever, 18 months ago. If nothing's changed, and I hope it continues because the way the England cricketers, the women, treated Alex Hartley tells me
That was
everything I need to
poor.
know about the mentality of the team and the mentality of England cricket. And if any England fan is listening to this and gets offended by it, that's the problem. Just to hold yourselves to account first before, blaming everyone and everything else. But
That's true.
anyway. And then they sent the youngster, McDonald Gaye,
Yes,
for
they
to
did.
interview, and they copped a bit of heat for that. Where are your senior players? Where are your leaders? There's a lot of senior players in that team. They should be fronting up to the media in a situation like that, but nowhere to be seen, hiding. Anyway, speaking of England, they're thumped in India 4-1. I mean, Abhishek Sharma, we've spoken about him before. What a knock yesterday. I caught the highlights of them today and absolutely dominant. Some of the stroke play, 13 sixes. There were some deliveries from England, to be fair, that weren't bad at all. They were either top of the stumps, which is a good length to bowl, or really, really low full tosses. And just these bumping that around the ground as if it's nothing.
And yeah, I mean, he took on bowlers like Mark Wood, he took on bowlers like Jofra Archer. He literally
That was
took
the
on
question
everyone.
about him when he started. Can he do it against high pace, right? And he's
Yeah,
doing it
and he
now.
can.
He can. Yeah.
And this is what the early sort of the early whoever established IPL envision 15 years, 20 years down the line will do for Indian cricket is exactly this. Youngsters coming onto the T20 scene, not intimidated by high pace. I mean, Jofra Archer, Mark Wood, both bowl 150 on, consistently. And let me tell you, Mumbai pitch is not a, it's a fast bowler friendly pitch if there is one in India. Then that's the one KD pitch. So, and Abhishek Sharma started well, what, 11, 12, 12 ball 50, 37,
17, and the record is 12 from Yuvraj Singh.
30, 37 ball 100, 39 ball 100. And I think, the T20, the T20, what the T20 team is looking really bright for the next at least couple of years or 3 years down the line.
Yeah, I mean, looking at it now from India speaking, you guys look very, very strong in your T20 setup. And when you consider the players that you can, add in there, like your Bumrah for next year's World Cup, etc. You guys are looking very strong. You bat deep. You bat very aggressive. Yeah, just probably a question on, I mean, Sanju Samson's been very good, but I just feel with Sanju, I'm a big fan of him, but he's a bit all or nothing. And I saw that in South Africa as well. He can score really big or score nothing at all, and he was out the same way the whole series. But there's players there that are looking, of course, knocking on the door,
And I
the
think
Jai Swals, etc.,
Sanju Samson will be given a longer rope,
which he
is my
deserves. Yeah,
feeling. Yep,
I
he
agree.
deserves that. And I think that is going to be India's mantra for the next couple of years, at least for this T20 team, because we saw Gautam Gambhir giving a few statements saying, the T20 game is such that you have to score those 240s, 250s in order to win the game comfortably. And in the process of doing that, if you get out for 120, 130, so be it. Then it's up to your bowlers to step up. And look, I agree to some extent, but you don't have to necessarily throw all hands every single time. Cricket is still a conditions-based game,
Yeah,
and
it is.
you have to consider the conditions and the situation, and depends on what game it is.
Absolutely. But I think given the conditions, what we've seen in India in T20 cricket the last few years, great batting pitches. A very aggressive India side. Good spinners. I mean, we haven't spoken about Varun Chakravarti. So he lost his form a little bit there, I felt. He came onto the scene maybe 4 or 5 years ago, then fell away a little bit. But the last year or two, he's really found his best form again. And he had the England guys in a spin right throughout the series. And he got the player of the series. You think about India's batting exploits, but it was the spinner that got the player of the series. And that's
And it's good to
very,
see. It's good to see.
very
It's good to
encouraging
see
from an
that.
India perspective. Yeah.
So, because given that the next T20 World Cup is in India, it's a real confidence booster for Chakravarti and for the spinners as well.
Yeah. Of
Or for the entire team, for that matter. So it's really
course.
going to be good to see what happens in the next 12 months leading up to the T20 World Cup. But and really exciting time for cricket, because there's 35 one-day internationals to be played in the next 2 years. So really looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, looking for that Champions Trophy, which we'll talk about more as the tournament nears. Mitch Marsh out for Australia, but the squads are looking interesting. I think it promises to be a fascinating tournament, and we'll make our predictions as the tournament comes closer. But yeah, it's going to be interesting now how teams sort of shift to the ODI format, because there has not been a lot of ODI cricket played amongst the top nations since the last World Cup in India 2023. Lots of Test cricket, lots of T20 cricket. So how are the teams going to adjust and play that different style? It's going to be very, very interesting to see, because it's not, because we've spoken about it before. It's not all helter skelter. It's not a shot or ball in one day cricket. You do need a few anchors, because Australia in that series against Pakistan, remember before the board against Ascot Trophy, we picked the T20 team for that last one day against Pakistan. We got rolled. So you got to be careful. But I look forward to it, and yeah, it'd be fascinating to see what the conditions are like in Pakistan and the UAE.
Yep, I'm just excited to see the Indian team back again in ODIs. I mean, after that 2023 World Cup, it was a
What
heartbreak
happened
in the
there?
end. It was a heartbreak. I agree it was a heartbreak, but the way team carried themselves, the way they played throughout the tournament, as a unit, it was really, really so great to see, so amazing to see. And you know, Virat Kohli will be back for 35 ODIs, so I really hope he notches up a few hundreds there and takes his tally towards that, closer towards hundreds. And let's see. I mean, look, you have to agree he's the greatest one day player of this generation. And
Oh, with this generation, there's been some. I mean, look, he's in
I
the
mean, I
conversation
would
all
even go as
time.
far as saying he's the greatest one day player of all time, but
Look, there's definitely the argument for it. You know, you got your AB de Villiers, you got your Viv Richards, etc. You got these amazing cricketers over the years that have done it. But Virat's been superb. But yeah, look, let's see if the one day format gets him going, because even in domestic cricket, they brought all the big Indian players back in domestic cricket. That's the impact of Pat Cummins and the impact of Australia. You know, who get India
pointless. That was pointless. But
players.
anyway.
I just thought it was strange with your next test match is a long way away. Give your young guys coming through in domestic cricket more of a chance.
It
And
was a knee-jerk reaction, nothing
I
more.
think so. I think you're right. And that's the Pat Cummins effect.
It's not the Pat Cummins effect,
Yeah,
but
it
go
is,
on.
mate. Yeah, it
Go
is. Scott Boland
on.
effect.
Go on. I'm going to say that just like the English, stop injecting yourself everywhere.
Well, what caused this? If you won the Border Gavaskar Trophy, you're not going back to domestic cricket, are you? So, you know I'm right.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for listening. It's been a good episode. It's been good. It's so good to be back here doing this banter stuff, talking to my good friend Shabal. But yeah, all jokes aside, I think it was there's so many good things to look forward to in cricket. There's the IPL coming
Absolutely.
up, the Champions Trophy, and yeah, we'll be talking about all that here.
Of course, yeah, I'll still be milking the Border Gavaskar Trophy win whenever I get the chance. That was a long time coming. And just before we round off, congratulations to Annabel Sutherland. She is the Belinda Clark medalist. So that was my prediction. I think she's had a magnificent year and very well deserved. And guys, you can catch us on Instagram and X at CricBlogPod, and all of our content is on YouTube as well, CricBlog TV. So do subscribe, rate the podcast, and share around with your friends and family. Hope you enjoyed it, and we see you guys next week.
Thank you so much.